So I'm standing next to a great big warehouse and the hum of saws going in the background. It's a hive of enterprise here. I'm here for the launch of a major forestry training initiative. Professor Mark Hunt, this is a big day for this ARC training centre. Tell us what it's setting out to achieve.
Hi Sally, it is a big day. This is a really interesting centre that's just starting this month after a lot of groundwork. What we're trying to do here is bring together industry and the university and other interested parties and really focus on looking at forestry and forest products and the production landscape and future infrastructure needs and bring all of those things in together, whereas in the past we've tended to think of them quite separately. So what we're trying to do here is working with partners like we are here in fabrication and construction, other partners in processing of timber, in growing forests, in understanding how to restore and manage environmental services in our landscapes, and just connect these together so that we can create a better outcome all along the value chain.
So does that mean it might change the way we manage our forests in Tasmania?
I think that's already changing, and what we're doing is coming in behind and working with industry and other stakeholders to identify what we need to learn and understand and how we need to train people to do things in this in the modern way.
Matthew G, you're the Managing Director of the Prefab Lab, which is where we're standing. Take me in and show us what we've got here. So this is your baby, is it, Matthew?
Well, it's mine and a whole number of people's baby. There's been about 10 people who've been involved in developing it over the last 4 years. But essentially, it's a manufacturing environment for construction and architecture.
Are you an architect? Are you kind of thinking? Is that the way?
I'm an architect. I've studied undergraduate architecture. I'm a builder. And one day, I would like to become an architect.
So you're thinking how timber's used, its end use?
Yeah, I'm mid-career and most of my career has some theme around timber and wood in it, in construction, and I'm envisaging my future as a business.
I can hear a lot of activity. We're going to make this pretty quick because it's jolly noisy. Some big timber beams, we're stepping into the warehouse now, and some people on machines. So can you just whet our appetite for what's happening here, Matt?
At the moment, we've got a couple of we've got three main activities going on. One is we've got UTAS Engineering up the back, and they're actually breaking under load a timber engineering product that we're exploring so that we can use it in a building application. So we've already got a collaborative relationship with the university in that context, and Gwee's up there with one of our guys, James, doing that. Up the back, we've got a CNC machine cutting out a furniture prototype for market, which is a small stool. And in the middle, we've got an I-beam house, which is a pavilion product that we're developing for market. We've got a specific focus on small studios and remote accommodation, and we're developing this product to then go to market with it.
Let's go out and stand out there by the water and we'll talk more. But what kind of timber is that in there? Because it doesn't look like your typical timber. It looks like it's laminated of some sort, Matt?
Yeah, the I-beam house is made with an engineered timber product. It's basically a combination of plies. It has a strengthening flange, top and bottom, and a web in the centre. It's also very light. So what we're doing is we're adapting an existing developed timber product into a new use that reduces labour time.
Mark, this is what you're talking about, new products driving new science, and you're going to train people that are the future of this?
Well, what we're doing with the centre is bringing through the next generation of researchers and managers and research leaders and giving them experience, whereas traditionally doing a PhD or a postdoctoral research, you might focus on a very specific area. What we're doing here is exposing people, they may be looking at timber engineering, but they're going to have an understanding of what Greening Australia is trying to do in landscape restoration. Somebody's looking at forest genetics to try and understand how to grow trees that are going to do better in the environment, but they're also going to spend time working with somebody like Matt and understanding where that material goes and how it can be used to create more sustainable infrastructure. So what we're trying to do with the centre is bring through people who understand how everything connects, how the landscape connects, through forestry and agriculture and conservation landscapes, and then how the supply chain connects from the trees to processing to design, building, and then in our infrastructure. And, you know, this is really, it shouldn't be a new concept, but it is, and it's very exciting, and it's only with engaging with people like Matt and our other partners that we can achieve it.
So what is it, as you see, the political climate that's made this possible? We've had, you know, two or three lots of regional forest agreements. We've had a lot of politics in forestry. What's made it possible now?
Some maturity in the participants in the sector, in understanding that no one operates in isolation. I think there's been a lot of work gone on over years, some years now, for people to understand issues around social licence, and for people to also understand that, you know, future markets and the future world's going to require different products and different approaches. And forestry is a traditional industry, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get there, and to some extent so is construction. So, you know, it also takes people. And in this case, we've had people like Matt and other key people with our industry partners who, through a little bit of serendipity, have come together and said, let's do something really interesting and new. And that sparks people's interest. I think we've said before, we're talking now about what we can do in the future. We're talking about how can our forestry activity and our approach to forest products be a gain for the environment through our approach to infrastructure and our integration of landscape management. What's the positive? What can we be optimistic about? And that's what changes, because people are interested in optimism and they're interested in the future.
Well, Matt, a final word from you, because you talked about your future in the industry and you're making stuff that people use. What do you think future forest products will be?
I think this is a personal perspective in terms of what I need as a builder. It may be different for other builders and architects, but I think composite products are really intelligent. They're really, because I deal in the area of manufacturing and prefabrication, I need high, very accurate tolerances in the materials that I use. So whenever I use a composite product, which is a product produced through the mixture of fibre or stripping or peeling, like that you produce for veneers, for ply and LVL. Those products are really, really significant for me in terms of structural timbers. But also, we're specialists as a joinery at Solid Timber. So the beautiful qualities of specialty timber, and I also think, you know, it might be a bit contentious, but I think eucalypt is also a specialty timber. So I think that we have some amazing timber species and around Australia, and I think they will always be a feature of what we do in architecture and construction, I guess, in the beauty of what we do in architecture.
Good luck. I'd like to come back in 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, see what it all looks like. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.